Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, March 27th. I'm Jane Johnston with the Briar Hill Group with Remax Camosun, and I'm here with...
Hi, everybody. It's Andrew Plank with Royal LePage. So good to see you, Jane. How can I get this wrong? I got to keep...
How are you doing?
I am good. Happy Monday and all that stuff. Yes. I see you've still got your number one in the background there. That balloon is lasting forever.
I know. I got it at the dollar store at Shelburne and Senior Hill Crossroad. I highly recommend that for balloons. And I was looking at last night. I'm like, my youngest one is turning 19, so maybe I'll keep it at a 9.
Go buy a 9 for a dollar.
So how has your week been?
Yeah, pretty good. Couple home properties under contract. Always sort of ups and downs in stick handling people's needs, wants, expectations. It's really that's one of the joys of this business. And and the market is pretty funny right now. You know, I've been multiple offers a number of times. This latest offer we were not, thankfully. But and then working on a few listings that are coming live soon. So yeah, it's been busy and good. I'm loving that the weather is starting to, you know, feel spring-like and the daffodils are out and everything's just starting to bloom and look beautiful. This is the time of year that I call it mating season for houses.
Mating season?
Yeah, well, you know, mating season is when everybody starts, you know, feeling a little bit like, let's lovey-dovey, let's make some changes out there in the world, let's get out of the winter doldrums and start living life. And I think that's why spring is always the big time where we find our biggest push for people wanting to buy or sell. So yeah, I call it mating season for houses.
Okay. I thought you said meeting season, but it's mating season.
Yeah.
Tinder. Yeah. Tinder for houses.
Tinder for houses. Swipe right, swipe left. Yes.
So I've never actually been on Tinder, so I'm hoping that was right. what was I going to say? So I was in Vegas at a conference on last week. First of all, it's so incredibly dry. I'm so glad that we live here. I am affected by the light. I noticed like last night at 7:30, it was still bright outside. I agree. Optimism in the market. I have found sellers have sort of taken their time getting their houses ready these days. I think we're going to see a lot of listings coming on the market shortly.
Yeah, it does feel like, again, I've got listings that I've been talking about listing for quite some time, and they have been delayed or they're not quite ready yet, and there's work to be done and so forth, but they're coming. But I would have encouraged being on market sooner if possible. Circumstances are circumstances, so that doesn't always allow.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at what's been going on in the market.
Stats. Let's look at stats.
Okay, so we're looking, we're going to do the stats and then just talk about five strategies for why your house may not be selling and things that you can do now that we're heading into spring.
And, you know, we'll probably talk more than five, but...
Because that's just the way we are.
But we are. Yes, it's what we do.
Okay, go ahead. I have Monday, March 6th and the 27th, so we have a two weeks.
So we're going to start on the left-hand side, and we've got so far... March 2023, March 6th, we have 66 unconditional sales compared to,
At 463 now for the month.
That's, wait a sec. Okay, that's not last week. March 6th is definitely not last week.
It's 3 weeks.
Okay, so 3 weeks ago, we were at 66 unconditional sales. We'd had 833 unconditional sales in the month before, or sorry, year before, for the month of March. In 2022, new listings at that point, March 6th, were 181. And again, for the full month of March, 1,217 new listings. That right-hand column in both of these are going to be the same because, of course, they're just referring to last year, full month. Active listings at that time, March 6th, were 1,854 compared to 1,063 in March of 2022.
Right. And so we've increased our sales up to so we're nearly at the end of the month, 463. That's compared to a record-breaking month in 2022 of 833. New listings were at a total of 895 for the month, and that is compared to 1217 for March. So March 2022. So our perception that the number of listings is down is true. So we're down about I would say a quarter from last year. And then active listings were at 1,930, and that is up from 1,063.
Almost double.
Yeah. What's interesting is, like, when I, you know, I peruse what's going on in all sorts of markets, and I have friends all over the world in real estate through REMAX, and I do find this is consistent everywhere.
We're not just experiencing this in Victoria or just in BC or just in Canada. You're saying this is global from people you're talking to. And it does, global economy and world events do affect everything, economies and so forth. And that definitely affects real estate. So it's understandable.
Yeah. Okay. So Market Watch, this is 2 weeks ago compared to this week. On the right. Of course, I always have one mistake per slide.
Okay. Well, so the left-hand slide is March 13th. So the right-hand slide would be the current past 7 days.
7 days.
So let's start there on the right-hand slide. I can see, I'm comparing it actually to the first slide, we're almost equal for new listings at that time. We're not seeing an increase. And you were saying that we're kind of consistently getting the same amount of listings every week. We're expecting to see that bumping up soon, though. 142 properties went pending, though, compared to 108 2 weeks ago. So that suggests, you know, quite a significant increase in buyer activity. 71 price decreases versus 60. So again, still price sensitive, still buyers, so still sellers needing to make some adjustments in order to draw the buyers in. A few properties with increased prices back on market, so forth, similar number sold, similar number of weeks. Well, you know, a few less expired, but still not a large number withdrawn, small.
Yeah, so 52 compared to 48. So very consistent sales over the week. But new listings is interesting to me. Again, I think it's because people are waiting to see. Obviously, sellers need to have a place to go. So that's one thing. I have had clients who have been interested in properties, and I was actually thinking of the topic today of subject to sale. It's, but really it's a non-starter when the market picks up. So if you look at the ratio 230 to 142, we are still in a seller's market. And that's not to say that people are selling over asking, actually, which is interesting to me. So the perspective of the buyer is still, they don't want to pay more than asking. And interestingly, like I had a listing on the weekend that we had 25 people through an open house. We had an offer come in on Sunday and somebody else was interested, but they just decided not to write. And, you know, I would say there's five elements to an offer. One is price. There's lots of other issues in an offer.
Yeah.
You know, deposit, dates.
Yeah. Yeah. Dates are really important to some people. And sometimes even with the best price, they can't make the dates line up. Someone may have their home sold and have to be out of it and need a new home within a month. And the seller may not have time to get out. It just may not be workable. So, you know, I do encourage my clients to compete, even if they're not, you know, feeling like they want to compete on price. And we've all seen in recent times offers coming and competing all under asking price. And again, reviewing recent sales, I'm seeing kind of close to price overall, but some above, some below. It's not really, you can't say for sure, unless you put your hat in the ring, you're not going to know if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, I can 100% guarantee you're not going to win this bid if you're not going to offer.
Yeah. What's that saying? You you lose 100% of the something.
Things you don't do. Yeah. All right. So that being said, you know, have a chat with your agent because there's lots of strategies to winning offers. And as I said, it's not all based on price, but you really want to ensure that you have your hat in the.
I have, this is timely and kind of funny. I have a, you know, last week we talked about a technology in the ChatGPT a little bit. And I have a colleague who reported to me that he was writing an offer, was competing, and his client wrote a buyer letter. Or he wrote, you know, his client wrote a buyer letter. You know, sometimes you help them manage some of the buyer letter contents. He plugged it into ChatGPT and asked it to make some changes. Of course, you check with your client if this is great, but I know you're shaking your head. But the seller apparently reported back that they just loved that letter. They wouldn't have sold to anybody else. It was really quite a heartfelt and well-connected letter for them. And interestingly, yeah, it was, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't even consider somebody else's offer, even if it was higher, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I would say, having been on the other side of that as a recipient of one of those letters, even as a jaded realtor, it made me cry.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen some letters that just so speak to the connection that someone has to a home. And you don't always know. And sometimes the letters certainly can work against you if it triggers something in the seller. But usually we're looking and going into this with a big open heart and wanting to make connection and wanting it to be true. I mean, again, ChatGPT will make some changes for language and flow and so forth, but it's not going to make things up. If you're asking it to rewrite content, it's not going to add additional, it's not going to make up content. It just helps to align it better for maybe your intentions or your ability to write.
I wouldn't say that in the cover letter, the ChatGPT.
Yeah, I know, written by ChatGPT, absolutely not. But it's just an interesting piece of that. But the point is that no, those letters are so powerful and can really make the difference. So yeah, there's elements to an offer, but those elements are not always priced, like you said.
Right. So, and where dates are important, interestingly, I met with a couple on the weekend who I sold their house about 8 years ago, and they asked me to come up. They live in Mill Bay right now, and they asked me to come up and talk to them about their home. And one thing they remembered when we sold their home was the dates didn't match up for when they had to clear their mortgage versus when the buyers wanted to take possession of the home. We had a 3-day gap. So actually what we ended up doing was we had to, because the buyers couldn't change their possession date, we had to give the buyers a possession date that they wanted, but the closing happened 3 days later. And that saved them $11,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, I mean, it's frowned upon. It's, you know, can be fraught with some legal peril, letting people in before they've actually paid for a home. And, you know, for 3 days, they could possibly, I mean, I've seen people allow possessions into the garage and the people stay in a hotel for those 3 days or whatever. I mean, there's ways to work around problems. I had a situation where we were under multiple offers, and one of the offers, they required dates that didn't work for my clients. And I may have told this story before, but the offer was about $10,000 or $15,000 higher than the other offer, but just didn't have dates that worked. And I said, well, take that money and go to Mexico. You know?
Yeah.
So, and they did, and they were so happy. So yeah. It was win-win. Just throw your stuff in storage, go to Mexico, come back, you know, and there you go.
And be happy.
And be happy. So that's what we're always trying to make happen, right? We're trying to make a resolution that helps everyone to get to a good place. Obviously, yeah. that can't always happen, and we are looking after our clients. But win-win is always best if it's possible and it doesn't harm anyone.
Right.
It's a zero-sum game, this real estate thing. It doesn't have to be. Jane, let's talk about things we can do if the home isn't selling, to maybe help buyers get under a new light. Yeah.
Okay. So this comes from conversations with clients. Why isn't your house selling? You never get a chance to make a good first. You never get another chance to make a good first impression. In real estate, you can sort of do that. So we're going to talk strategies.
Yeah. All right. I have a slide in my presentation that really shows the graph of activity after new listing. And, you know, Jane, you're aware of this. We've all experienced it. You list a property new on market and you get the most showings immediately because there's a pool of buyers out there who are watching for these new listings and ready to pounce. And they're going to all go and try to see it as soon as they can. After the first week or so, the activity really drops off really quickly. And then you're waiting for new people to come into the market for them to call up their mortgage broker or to decide, oh, hey, honey, I'm, you know, pregnant and we need to expand our home. Let's go do this. New things coming into the marketplace or new changes for people. But the most activity happens right off the bat. So how do you revamp that after you've been that through that first week and you didn't get the sale and you're not getting the activity you want?
Okay, nice segue. Here we go. Number one, is your lock working?
This is a small but big thing. And I've found so many times when I'm going with clients through a home, we approach the door and everything's seeming great. And then you get open the lock box and you put the key in the lock and you're trying and fumbling to get through. And it just sours the start.
So, yeah, I mean, this is the very first thing that people are seeing
and experiencing in of the home.
And they're like, the lock doesn't work.
Yeah. And I have a 3-strike rule. I tell my clients this, like, if you find that you're finding like one thing and then another thing and another thing as you get through a home, you're probably going to expect to find more once you're in building inspection or ownership. So, you know, what can you as a seller do to try to get away from these things that are stumbling blocks for a buyer?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I carry, some lock oil in my car with me. And if I'm having trouble or I'm finding it, I'll often do it for the other agent because I'm just like so sick of coming across homes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, if I'm listing a home, I take care of that myself because it's one of the first experiences you have as you approach, as you're entering the home.
Yeah. So, and you want to make, as we said, you know, first impressions, you want to make sure that your lock is working. So just, I never thought of lock oil, but I have had sellers replace front door locks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Number two, add a little plant to your front door, put a little welcome sign out, and it seems, high need, but seriously, it makes a huge difference. Just welcomes the buyer.
Well, we had a feng shui expert in recently, and feng shui is about energy and about the way we experience the world and our homes. And if you can change up that front entrance way, if you can change up some of the energy of the flow of that home, if you think about running water through a straight channel versus a channel with a bunch of boulders in it, there's turbulence or there's, you know, a smooth flow. And if you can help with people having a smooth flow in and through your home and they, you know, they, their attention is placed where it should be and not where it shouldn't be. That is a positive thing. So things you can do is definitely some of that front street appeal, that's front welcoming elements that you're any buyer that comes through, you need to maximize that to buyer's positive experience in that home.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it don't forget to keep it watered. Or
well, yeah, you know. So I've gone through vacant homes and the plants are all dying. It's winter and the heat is off and everyone's shivering. You know, they ask us to take off our shoes when we go through the home, but we're like freezing our feet off. How are you going to have a positive experience when you go through that home? And how is a buyer going to feel like this is a welcoming place that they would want to call home? So there's so much you can do that's subjective and that can really change the experience for someone.
Okay, I'm going to change this so it's a little bigger. Okay. The other thing is you can start to highlight some pictures of your garden and retake pictures because now the plants are coming out. This is obviously not for condos, but for single family homes. It really makes a difference showing the potential of the garden. And if you are selling in the winter, it's not quite spring yet, don't hesitate to leave some pictures out. Or I always ask my clients, do you have pictures of your garden?
Yeah, we've all seen homes that have been listed since, let's say, December, still on market, November, December, still on market. And when they were, when that was listed, it was, there was snow on the ground and the house has snow on the roof and there's snow in the yard. And it just shows so dramatically and blatantly that that property is around for a long time. So why not change things up and make it so that things are a little fresher? So when one of those new buyers who hasn't experienced your home yet, hasn't seen it on market for quite some time, does go look at it, it feels like a fresh, clean, new listing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now, we also talked about this at the beginning. You never get a chance to make a first, never get a second chance to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. Do declutter. And, you know, this is something you can do as you go along. It is overwhelming for me as an agent, even though I'm, I would say, pretty experienced, to see a house with so much clutter in it. It just, shows a messy mind, really.
Yeah, I mean, I know people, I mean, I certainly get stressed out if my home is a mess because I personally, it distracts me. I know some people who know where everything is in their home and their mess is part of, you know, part of how they work and it's fine. But when it comes to selling the home, you want people coming through that home and seeing, being able to see their own world in that home. And if they can't overlook your own mess, it's going to be difficult. And not only mess, but personal items. I listed a home at one time that where the seller was a trophy hunter, and that home was chock-a-block. And I've been through homes like that as well, chock-a-block full of, you know, animals on the walls and on the floors and you know, stuffed animals everywhere. And you know that anybody going through a home that is full of that stuff is only going to be seeing and experiencing those things. And when they leave, they're not going to be talking about what beautiful kitchen was in that house. They're not going to talk about the flow or floor plan. They're going to talk about, oh my God, what was that?
Yeah.
Religious items, personal items, personal family photos, all of those things should come down and just try to make it as clean and decluttered as possible. And also, hey, you're going to be moving anyway. So why not start the process?
That being said, you don't want the house to look like the picture on the right-hand side because if you do, people are going to be able to see every nook and cranny, and they also make generalizations about the house as well. They can see more detail. So I would add pictures and a little bit of furniture into this on the right. But this is what I pulled off Canva this morning. So.
Okay. I mean, I find that I think a vacant home is much superior to a cluttered home. You can digitally stage for very inexpensively if you don't want to take on the cost or expense or bother of an actual physical staging. But that does still mean that anybody coming through the home still sees a vacant home when they actually arrive. So if you do want to stage it, sometimes people use their own furniture. do consult with someone who is an interior designer or a stager. Don't try to do it yourself unless you have a lot of experience. We see a lot of Pinterest homes, and that's great, and it's actually fine. But if you don't have a lot of experience with
it's interesting because I have a listing right now that's vacant, but so I went in with the seller and staged it. Spent a Saturday moving furniture around, and I guess people didn't realize that it's vacant. So many, you know, because we made it look like someone's still living there. And if they, I mean, if they opened up the closets, they would see there are no clothes there, but the house looks like, oh, you know, like, you know, the kids have been playing in this area, or the living room looks comfortable, the heat's on, and all of that.
So, and that's the point of staging. If you're going to stage, it's got to be staged in a way that it positively tells a story about what, you know, what it is like to live in that home, and and show all of the positives of how that home could be lived in a really, you know, fundamental way. So,
okay. Adding a few plants and also possibly repainting your home. Just give it a bit of a refresh on the whole look. And what this does is it creates, you can see like contrast here, which, and warmth. So the plants give it warmth. We have the blanket on the couch. You know, a nice clean look. And this, they call this in the US a white box. So this is a way to refresh everything. So we did that in our house. So you can see my house is white. When we bought this house, it was actually a listing of mine, and I told the sellers to repaint it, and they refused to. And when we moved in, the first thing we did was paint everything white, and just totally changed the whole look. So,
right.
Highly recommend that.
We live in a white box as well. You know, and we bought a home that had already had some updates, but then we did a pretty massive reno on number of rooms and spaces. And we like that nice clean look, and try to keep things decluttered. And I mean, you have to live in your home. And at the end of the day, though, when you're selling it, you are creating a product, and you need to show it off to the best. And, you know, some plants add some life. The white adds light. There's nothing worse. And a lot of ceilings that look white are not white, and they just collect light. And people going through a home will really react unconsciously to these things without really even knowing. And they will have experience again that may not be their most positive. So there's things you can do, and painting a house is one of the cheaper things you can do for improving your home.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, Jane, was that number five, or do we have anything more?
One more.
Okay.
Retake your photos and or move them around. So I went to a listing the other day, and I saw the photos were obviously taken with their camera.
Right.
So we really want to make sure. Meredith is on again. Hello, Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. Thank you. That was
white box. Her house is a white box for the most part. Yes. Realtors have something in common. So yes, definitely retake the pictures. You can just move them around, and also you can refresh the listing, which means you can, Andrew was talking about the curve. So on realtor.ca, actually, people can look for only new homes, only new listings. So you, if you refresh the listing, you actually show up again. And also,
you're not saying that people can only search for new homes, but you're saying that there's an option to search for new homes only.
Yeah.
And so if someone's looking for that, the only way to be seen on that is to be a new listing, and you can refresh a listing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's about it. I have found, by the way, the reason why this works is sometimes when people have a search for a property, they may have discarded it based on price. So if you refresh the listing and change the price, you may still not show up on their search. So I always tell my clients, do not discount on price. Discount the listing based on other things like layout, things you can't change, or location.
Sorry, say that again. What are you saying about discount on price? How do you
do not discard
Yeah.
a listing based on price if you like it.
Oh, okay. You're not talking about your sellers. You're talking about for buyers. Yes, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Oftentimes the seller is actually ready for a price reduction or negotiations, and you can often get in ahead of them if the place is overpriced and it's been on market a while, and then address those issues through a, through an offer. I want to talk about this. This is interesting because I just relisted a property, and we've got, could you go back to that slide? It doesn't really matter, but I mean, just relisted a property. I did exactly that. I reworked the language in the write-up. I reordered the photos. I made sure that the photos were showing off the most positive bits, but I wanted people who are seeing this new listing to not just say, I've seen this already. I've seen this main photo on my feed come up over and over again on my buyer feed. I want them to experience a fresh experience of this. So yes, it's a new price. It's a new listing description, and it's a change up in the photos. I always edit and do post-production editing of my photos just to ensure that they do show up well. But at the same time, there's some things you can do to tweak them so that people are not seeing the same thing. There's something called the reticular formation. This is getting really nerdy, but we have
reticular activation.
I think there's also the reticular formation. It's something in your brain that that you start to see the same thing over and over again. You're going to stop seeing it. Your brain just immediately just stops seeing it. And I used to experience that in my camera shop. People would come by and come by and come by and look in the windows, come look on my inventory shelves. If I moved something, it would sell, because suddenly somebody comes through and sees it. It's just been physically moved. It hasn't been changed in price, nothing else. But now there's a change in environment and they're seeing it for the first time because they've been overlooking it because they've seen it so often in the past. So we want to do that for our listings.
So yes, agreed. And actually you can see that when you go to stores, like even the grocery store, and they change the aisles around. Like, why did you do that? But they're trying to get you to look at your things. So Meredith has a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So would you show the house at different times of the year? Photos is what she's referring to. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, absolutely. If you have really great showing in winter covered in snow, or beautiful springtime at the different times of year, a buyer will, it'll help them understand what that property is like throughout the year. I mean, we sell in the spring generally because it's showing its best.
But right.
If it looks beautiful at those other times of year, and there's some really wonderful fall leaves or beautiful frost or snow, bring it. Yeah, for sure.
I asked my sellers to provide me with photos from different times of the year of the garden. And so we leave those out, or we actually have a sharing folder that we share with buyer agents, and we put all of those photos in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you see in the listings is not all, it's like tip of the iceberg often for what's actually available for information. But of course we're just trying to do the CV, the resume, the basic top, positives, and then have people come in, do their research after that. So.
So I will say, what I was explaining to a new agent the other day, you're welcome, Meredith. I was explaining to a new agent that sharing folders are a relatively new thing. What happens is somebody comes up with a good idea, and then gradually it becomes normal in the industry. And sharing folders are something, I don't know, I've been using them for maybe 5 or 6 years, and I put them in with all my showing confirmations. So if anybody writes an offer on my property, just so you know, it's there. And the reason why I do that is because I figure that it's important for buyers to know as much about the property and to have all their questions answered before they bring in the offer, so that they come in informed.
I've been doing the same, and it's and it was really surprising to agents right off the bat, and they always got this really amazing feedback, like, oh my god, this is amazing, I don't have to go searching for all this information, because they're going to ask anyway, so why not provide it? It's all information that is part of a due diligence process. And it just really makes it easy, because you're not sending a bunch of files back and forth. You're just sending a link and saying, here you go. Here's all the information we have.
That being said, when you get an email with four emails with four sets of information with background information, it's frustrating now.
It can be. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how it's presented and how it's compiled. So that's all part of it. I always appreciated there's some agents who, even early on, they just had physical binder books and you'd go there and they had the frequently asked questions that we all want to ask, you know, how old is the hot water tank? What's the amperage on the service? Who holds the insurance and all of that stuff? And it's just all right there because we have a property disclosure statement, but it doesn't step into some of those pieces. And so they've expanded it themselves. And that was, I mean, as you said, we copy and we steal from everyone else. When we see a good idea as agents, we want to be making sure that we're incorporating that into our business practices.
Yep. Yep. And it was really avant-garde when I got into real estate to have a floor plan, 2006,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was like you, not everyone had floor plans. Virtual tours were not even a thing, really. They were the 3D sort of, you could make maybe a 3D image, circular image. Things have come so far. I want to say back to, and we're just wrapping up here, but you know, we didn't really touch the elephant in the room, which is if you are on market for a long time and things aren't happening, there is a conversation around price quite often to be had. It's, you know, sure, you can make sure the lock works and sure you can add some flowers and plants and paint, but if you're out of line on price, all that is still not going to be enough. You might get lucky. You might have a buyer come through and fall in love with the place. And the chances of that happening are more likely when you've removed all the other objections. But if it's still showing much higher price than the other options out there, it's probably going to continue to sit around. So you do need to align on price.
And these are all things we're talking about that really need to be considered before you go on the market.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be happening after, but that being said, you know, sometimes people, they don't realize that how important these things are until they start getting the feedback. And I would say, I had a stager come to a listing recently and it was a condo and the seller did not listen. And this would be a really expensive listing. And I said to them, listen, like I brought this professional in, I'm a professional and you're just not listening. So I chose not to work with that person. And that's a really hard decision to make, but you know, we invest a lot of time and money into the listing. We give you advice based on, especially Andrew and I, we're both working both sides of the market. So we're seeing properties and we're listing properties. We see both sides. We see how a buyer responds to something that's not well presented. And we see how a seller feels when they have to do a price reduction after they've tried all this stuff. Mm-hmm. This is really, you know, ameliorative, what we're discussing today. It should be done before you list the property.
You know, I always find that hope springs eternal and it absolutely should be done, but people, another elephant in the room is not everyone has a trust of realtors in real estate, and they sometimes hire us and they feel like they know or have the answers and fair enough if that's the case and that's how they feel. We do get to choose who we work with. We do find that, you know, there are people right off the bat that may not be, that we have to really work hard to gain trust. Because it just seems like they're not trusting the process at all and in general. And if you can't form a relationship with someone, you probably shouldn't be working with them. And that goes for, you know, clients who are trying to choose a realtor and realtors who are working with clients. But at the end of the day, if there's not a trust relationship, it's going to be a hard time having those conversations around price and the fact that, you know, we are doing all we can to market this home or, you know, all of those things.
Yeah. And, you know, I had clients who had a mortgage broker who gave them bad advice. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to sell their home because it's just too expensive to carry. So mm-hmm. they wanted to do a fixed rate mortgage. They had a fixed rate mortgage and they were convinced to do a variable. And this was last year. And so, you know, they said to me, you know, we just want to make sure you trust me. And I'm like, I've known these people for so long. And at first I was offended, but I totally understand. And having somebody say they trust you, honestly, is the best feeling in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this business is all about, is we're here. You know, every realtor has different tools in their toolbox.
Yeah.
And we're here to work with you to make Andrew and I are anyway, to make you the most comfortable we possibly can, keep you informed. You're the boss. We will follow your instructions, but we'll also give you advice on whether or not we think it's good or bad instructions.
Yeah. You're going to get us, you know, if with your permission, you'll get our opinions and our advice and all of that. And we will follow your lawful instructions, and we encourage you to make them. Like, we want you to make good decisions. We want you to be informed and educated and fully aware of everything that's happening. And if there is not a trust relationship, then anything we say will fall on deaf ears. So, and it makes it really hard to work together. So, you know, if we can't build that, then it's difficult to work in. And Jane, you know, I was just talking to a newer in the business colleague, and, you know, I've gone through times of feeling a little jaded in this business and a little bit like, wow, this, you know, but at the same time, I love this business. And one of the things I love most about it is the challenges that we face and the personal growth that is forced upon us, because we deal with people all the time and they're, you know, some of the best and worst circumstances for them. And I feel like I've become a better person through this process. So that's one of the beautiful things about this business, is it does challenge us on all levels.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely more nurturing than I used to be. I was probably, well, I was also ruthlessly efficient when I first started, because I had two
really
kids.
Were. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And it served you well, from a financial from a career perspective. At the heart of it, we all work to be, you know, as human as we can as well within all of these different roles that we play.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that.
Okay.
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome. And I just want to say, everybody, we are on a Monday mornings at 10 a.m. And if you have any questions about real estate in Victoria, please get in touch with us. Andrew, how do people reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me at 250-744-3. No, wait a sec. What's your number? okay, you can reach me at 250-360-6106. info@andrewplank.com is my email. Andrewplank.com is the website. You can book a meeting with me, either coffee or buyer or seller consultation, even lunch if you know me personally, and I'll send you the private link. Instagram, I'm Plank Andrew.
Okay. My name's Jane Johnston. My number is 250-744-0775. You can reach me at BriarHillGroup@gmail.com. My website's BriarHillGroup.com. It's also VictoriaRealEstateShow.com. And you can reach me on Instagram at RealtyTeacher_Remax_Victoria or Vancouver Island Luxury Living. And don't forget, thank you, Meredith. Have a fabulous week ahead. And don't forget to subscribe. We are on YouTube, and we'd love to hear any comments about what you'd like to have shown. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Jane. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.